Fight inflation the old-fashioned way by spending less money. Check out the HyperX store at Amazon.com to find great Prime Day deals on July 12th and 13th. Stock up on new gaming gear so you'll be equipped for the new launches and content drops. Mark your calendars and set your alarms. Deals like this won't stick around long.
Chat of the Wild is part of the HyperX Podcast Network. To find out more information and other great shows, go to podcast.hyperx.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild.
Gaiden.
Ow to you and yours. In this season, we are playing through the Clover Studios classic Okami. Kami. In our last episode, we met up with Himiko. And we get there, and she goes and tells us that she knows everything is messed up in the world right now. She's been seeing it with her crystal ball. She's doing whatever she can to keep it from getting worse right now.
You know, like, come on. I can't go anywhere. I'm doing everything possible from this spot.
I came back to this session, I reopened my Switch, and I thought about the things that had transpired since I last played, and I was just like, that made absolutely no sense. What is happening right now?
It was sort of a MacGuffin moment, right? Like, we were building it up about her being really important to all of this, and all she really did was say, yeah, I know what's going on anyway, here's a key that to open the door over there so you can get to the rest of the coast.
You should see what it would look like if it weren't for me.
That's kind of it. Yeah.
Right.
But you know, they had to gate these things off, in a certain way. Again, this is that Zelda thing that it isn't done as nicely as some other games where, That is the problem with this game, is that it is very long, mm-hmm. and we get to a point where we're meeting certain people, and they're not really impacting our overall adventure, right? We mm-hmm. meet these new people, they say a thing, but we had to see them for them to say a thing so that we could go to a new area, and that's going to be like the only interaction we even have with this person.
We're chasing the black shadow to southern Japan as we go.
Yeah, that's basically it. She gave us the border key, which was sort of just like a passport, because we still go up to those guards, and you still have to talk to only one of the guards. Only one of the guards will even accept your key. And then if you show him the key, he opens the gate for you, and then we can go to North Ryoshima Coast.
I like how beholden to duty they are, because he just says, I don't know how you got this, but you have it. So I gotta let you through.
Like, he must be on some very important business, I guess.
I guess.
I'm not sure why.
The cops arrest you, but you shaved your mustache, and you can't be, you know, you can't be convicted of those crimes. Like,
right.
That was a different person.
Changed.
This part was just at the beginning of this. It was very annoying because we keep getting stopped. This game does this so many times where it will take you to an area, you'll go into a room, it will let you walk two steps. It's like that old, like, JRPG kind of thing, right? Where you can move freely for a second, and then it's like cutscene time, and it's like, why wasn't it just cutscene time? Make it cutscene time as soon as I get here. Like, why did I need to do that? And that happens here.
Is it safe to move? Nah, no, here's the guy.
Right, because we get into this area, after talking to the guard, we get a pan over of Ryoshima Coast, which I didn't even think about what we're going to be told here in a minute. But we get there, and then Isun starts talking about, like, oh, this is the rest of the coast. Let's go have a look around. And then you take a couple steps, and then another cutscene happens where Waka is here. And he doesn't even necessarily tell us like something important other than being like, we haven't covered some of Isun's backstory well enough, so let's go ahead and drop a little information here about that little bug riding on your back.
He doesn't even really have a crappy prophecy this time.
Yeah. There was no reason for this information to be imparted by Waka. Like, it could have been any character. There was no specific reason why.
It really could have been. Yeah. You're right. Like, any character along the way that we have talked to could have said something like, oh, that little bug on your back reminds me of this story that I heard. And then that's all they would have to say.
I think they're trying to play off the fact that Waka doesn't like Isun and Isun can't stand Waka. But it feels super random. And Waka doesn't even have a dramatic entrance for a character who's all about flair and is normally like looking down on us from on high.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I do like as soon as he pops in that Ethan's like, just ignore him and maybe he'll go away.
Yes. Waka does bring up this story about a grandfather. Well, it was an old man that was also a painter whose grandson was an aspiring painter that ran away and stole some of his work. And then Waka insinuates that Isun stole the art that he has, that he hasn't actually drawn any of it himself.
Yeah.
And challenges him to draw something right now. Isun doesn't take the bait. And then that's it. I mean, well, Waka then does explain that he freed this land. This land is not cursed, as we have seen in every other new large area we go
to. That's right. They're just like, look, we know you're tired of doing that. Waka did it this time.
But I wasn't.
He could have done it before. Well, I know, but that's like the game just being like, don't worry, we got you this time. Waka took care of it, which I guess he could have done this all along. So
the only thing I can accept is that they are trying to show that Waka is capable of doing it. He has that power that we have to cleanse the land like this. But no, I love that scene when we bloom the tree and then we get that cut scene with the waves of color and water and the music and all that. I played it in a previous episode. That's how much I love it. Like, just that music and everything. We didn't get it. That was taken from us by Waka. He stole it from us, Waka.
Waka, you owe us just unfathomable beauty.
But then, after this cutscene happens, we walk ahead a few more steps, and then another cutscene happens where we're introduced to a new monster, and we're forced into a battle. It's a wheel with a giant phallic nose coming off of it. This one is, you know, it's the hardest one that we've dealt with so far.
It was pretty tough.
It wasn't electricity, because we've had electricity, but I think it did a few different things. It had like a smoke with it and then some electricity, I believe.
Was it a smoke or like a scent line around it? Because I assume it's a scent line, because like it's a nose. So yeah, it seemed like it smelled, like it had an odor. What are the things that bring it back together when you split it up?
I don't remember. I'm thinking of the wheel that has the three.
Are you thinking of the cat wheel? You're thinking of the cat wheel. We'll get to that later.
Yeah. I don't remember how the nose fight went. So,
but here's the thing: if you're wandering around this area, if you go, there is a place that you can go to not far from after this battle that will then start another cutscene. There is a guy getting bullied by a bunch of kids, all named Bully, apparently. And you just sit there. You don't have to do anything. They can be. They truly can be.
They're nature's monsters.
Eventually, like, they're bullying him because they claim that this person said that they rode a orca down to a castle in the sea, and they didn't believe him, and so they were beating him up for that.
Why can't you see him, huh?
It's the convenient excuse of, oh, the orca only appears to those who are worthy, which is why you haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. Great insult, though, right? Like, when you think about it.
Look. Oh, you weren't there? Oh.
This is Urashima, and I don't know. He's like, oh, he's wearing a barrel, and that's it. Like, he looks like the old cartoon homeless, you know, like bankrupt person, like just wearing a barrel with shoulder straps over it, kind of looking thing.
He just, yeah, I mean, that's his fishing gear, man. It's a life preserver if you fall in.
Yeah. But he also looks kind of like a fish too. Like he has a weird shaped, like triangular shaped head to his shoulders. Like he has no shoulders. It just goes straight down. It's hard to describe. Isun doesn't hesitate to make fun of him and calls him like overweight or something.
Oh, yeah.
Says something. It's Isun. So,
I assumed it was going to be a little kid when all the bullies were children.
Yeah,
real surprise when it was a grown man.
He explains to us that this orca showed up to him over on this pier nearby.
In fact, that pier right there.
Yeah, at sunrise one time, and took him down to this place. And he only does it to those that are worthy. And he explains all this stuff to us, and he makes it sound like we eventually find out that it's literally been years since he did this.
Yeah.
And since then he has not seen Orca, and you know, we can fast forward. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say it wouldn't be so bad if everyone then did not make that like the central focus of his life, making fun of him for something he said happened that they say did not.
Right.
And just like, man, I really could have used, you know, some backup on that orca.
I do love this moment. Like we'll go to this. We'll fast forward through some of these things here just because we're talking about it now. But if you go up to that pier and it's nighttime and then you make it daytime as you're doing that, you get this cutscene where this like cute orca shows up with this saddle on his back. And then we get this cutscene where Urashima runs up to it and it's just like, Orca, it's been so long. Like, he says, like, it's been so many years. I thought you would never come back. And he starts to jump towards him. And then Orca just does like a backflip and just like knocks him out into the ocean. The water dragon is out there eating people. I don't know if y'all got ate up by the water dragon.
So good.
But that dude might be dead.
Nah, he's all right.
He's probably fine, but
yeah, he's cool.
It was hilarious.
And there's some joke here that we're supposed to get, but I don't know what it is, because Urashima is another folklore character. So there's probably some layer of comedy in this whole situation that we don't get. But yeah, I guess we'll never know.
Hey. It's we get to ride a dolphin just like in Crystallis, so.
Yeah, I want to here. I'm going to make a note right now in here. Y'all might see it updated on there. I'm going to put origin of Urashima, and I'm going to circle back to that at some point to figure out what that is. Like we did with Isun, you know, we looked that up and we figured that out later. Maybe there's some joke here about there's a story of Orca and Urashima and they went on adventures together, and you know, maybe there's something there, and that's the joke that
I
Orca
forget,
does not care about this character at all.
How much did I get into did I talk about the tower at all last week or no?
No, I didn't let you because we weren't there yet.
Okay.
So after talking to Orca, they explain, we at first were just like, take us to the dragon shrine, or what was it? Is that what it is?
The dragon palace.
Dragon palace.
We're going to use him to get to the dragon. Because Urashima was like, yeah, he took me to the dragon palace. It was gorgeous. It was beautiful. It's amazing. I would very much like to go again. And so that's where we can go.
But Orca says, like, no, you still have some trials that you need to finish before you're allowed to do that, because they are following the decree by Orihime. And so, like, this has just been a thing that, like, it's not just some fish that we found that is going to do things for us. They were like, yeah, I got the memo. I know what's going on right now.
Yeah, no. I'm in.
So we won't talk directly about it just yet, just because there's a lot of stuff to explore on here. I don't like how slow and like clumsy it is to just get on and off of Orca. Like it can only go so close to the edge on certain things, and then you have to do that, and it's almost like it loads. I mean, it probably does. It probably loads two different maps when you're on there or something like that, where it can't just like freely do that, you know, of just like, oh, you're on a vehicle, you're off a vehicle.
Do you want to jump off?
Because it does like a loading screen where it wipes the whole screen off.
It changes your controls. Because you can jump on his back, I think, but I don't know. Yeah.
You can. Yeah, and then when you press a button, it says, would you like to swim with it? And then it does almost like a loading screen. And then changes. And I don't know. Who knows?
When I said I wanted better swimming abilities, this isn't what I was asking. This is not the solution.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a boat, not a weirdly controlled whale.
Yeah, we're always looking for boats, but it's fine. It's still like, it would have been great if this was something that we can then do at other places, but this is going to be a mechanic like confined to this section of the sea or whatever. There's some little islands you can go to. We do come across the archer that we saw earlier.
Uh-huh.
He's hanging out here. And he's just practicing his arrow shots at this stone fruit hanging on the tree. Like, this one was a little different because there is a pond right next to you. But I still don't understand what was special about this water, where we made it a water arrow that turned that fruit stone.
We magically watered the stone fruit and it became a real boy. Because we're a god.
I don't know.
I was just like, I what is lying around that I can tag to this arrow?
Right.
There is water. Okay. I guess he has a water arrow.
Mm-hmm. And then if you go and crack open that fruit, you get like 30 faith. That's
yes,
it.
Thankfully. I was on the whale and I had already done that part, and so I slashed the fruit down, and as I released, I was like, oh, I can't. Can I get up there to grab whatever pops out? Because I'm used to like treasure coming out of the one from our hometown. So I was like, what's gonna happen? Yeah, faith popped up. Okay, all right.
There's another island with a fisherman. That if you can give him one of the other rods that you have, love his design, because he has that Japanese fisherman design where like he has dark tan skin and is just wearing a rope thong, and that's all he's wearing. You gotta dive in sometimes, man. Yeah. You do the fishing game with him. You get him a marlin. He'll take that back to the, there's like a fish shop, but I think it's like a sushi shop. I think it's like
the restaurant.
For food. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know I was allowed to do anything with them. I talked to them. I was like, I'm ready, chef. What do you need? And
gotta explore, man. I know it can be time consuming because the work isn't fast, but
I was all over that map. I just didn't realize there was some fishermen. All right. Settle down.
Is every fishing rod we can buy going to be a story-driven thing?
Probably. We don't fish on our own. You know, like, we don't actually fish, so it's not ever going to be an item that we use ourselves.
Yeah.
Anytime you go, if we go to a new shop and you see stuff at the top, if it is not a glaive, a mirror, or beads, it's going to be some item that someone else needs, or gold dust.
I have to say, I am growing more and more a fan of my glaive. Like,
I switched to the glaive.
Every fight.
So here's the thing. I talked about this before. I did some research on the game this time. So the way that it works is you have beads are the fastest but weakest. The okay. Mirrors are the middle of the road weapon, right? Mm-hmm. You get a good speed, but then you get defense with it, all that stuff. Glaive is the most powerful. So the most powerful weapon that we will get
right.
will be a glaive. And it is by a lot,
but it's
too.
Slow.
It is slow, but we'll eventually get another dojo move that will make that power up move faster. So you'll be able to, you won't have to hold the sword down as long to do your big
the charge
attack. Yeah, the charge attack.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I'll take like one swing and then I'm like, I don't know if I should hold this forever. Like maybe I should be like tapping and then I let go and it just wipes out their health. I'm like, oh yeah, no. Mm-hmm. That's what I was supposed to do. Okay, good.
I personally prefer the beads, and so far it's not as if I've had issues killing things.
Yeah.
No.
Beads are cool as hell.
Yeah, my thought with it was these are the only three weapon types we're gonna have. Okay. It would be a disservice for me to not at least try to figure out how to use the glaive properly. I can do the mirrors properly. I can do the beads properly at this point. I can't just be like, I'm not going to touch it. It's one out of three weapons. Like, it's like, why wouldn't I just mess with it? Did it. And it was like, okay, yeah, it is slower and I have been getting hit more often. But when I get the attack, when it hits, it just wipes out these enemies so fast.
Are you still rolling with the shield as your secondary?
Yeah, but I'm not using it.
Okay.
I'm not doing anything with it.
Right. Yeah. See, that's the, I mean, I guess I could go beads main, beads secondary, but I like having them as a secondary. So I have like a ranged option sometimes to like test and see if sometimes it'll take health off. Sometimes it won't, or, you know, trying to figure out how to most efficiently break these enemies. So I'm trying different stuff. I like having that.
Yeah, I went and did a lot of exploring on this just to like, cause I had a lot of time to spend on it. Especially once we got the upgrade, but I did find another grotto with a boss battle, but it was with the Spider Queen again. I think every one of those is just with the Spider Queen.
Okay.
Which is disappointing because literally I have like a 10-second clip of me killing it, like getting down there
yeah.
and doing the same thing before, because especially now, because I got the charm that refills my ink even faster. I also maxed out my ink. I have max ink now and it recharges faster. And so I got into there and I was just like, you know, 10 seconds is an exaggeration, but it was less than a minute for sure of just, pinning it down, it opens up and just literally just slash, 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 gone.
Yep.
And it was like, I was like, record that and I'll send it to you guys. After. But yeah, it's disappointing that it's all the same.
Do you get praise or just money?
What do you get for it?
Sun fragment.
Oh,
the fragments that give you more health.
I like that you only need three of them.
So
less heart pieces, the better. That is directly proportional to my enjoyment of a game.
The other islands just have some stuff to dig up right now. There's another one of those rocks that we can't do anything with yet. They're still just like too hard for us to slash.
Like the weird still. Split shiny rocks.
Yeah, that looks like it has like some coral sticking out of it or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get something later after we go to the underwater palace. We'll see. Not in this episode, but we will see.
Aww. Don't get me all excited.
The thing that we need to do is we need to go to the cat tower. And we're going to head that way. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. And we will see what is waiting for us up meow.
Meow. Us. We're the Spirit Hunters, and we're a show that treats Hunter Hunter and Yu Hakusho's author as the center of the universe. Some weeks we do linguistic analysis. The Chinese meaning of this character is to smelt or refine, but to the changed meaning in Japanese it means to temper. Other times, we get absolutely smashed.
So we take one shot every time. Yusuke uses the ray gun.
1 hour later.
This is the least coherent episode.
Sarah, I think your pirate is haunting.
Check us out at the HyperX Podcast Network.
Prime Day is coming. Check out the HyperX store on Amazon.com to find great Prime Day deals on July 12th and July 13th. Stock up on the latest gaming gear from HyperX so you'll be ready for all the new launches and content drops this summer. Mark your calendars and set your alarms. Deals like this won't be around for long.
For every episode of No More Whoppers that you listen to, we will send you a 25-cent coupon for participating Kroger's. How many Kroger's are participating? None, but you're still getting the coupon.
And it's like 25 cents in 1985 dollars.
Right, so today that's like...
28 cents.
No More Whoppers. Take that to the bank and smoke it.
On the HyperX Podcast Network and nomorewhoppers.com.
Meow, we're back.
Yes. Let's go climb this cat tower.
Yes.
So when we get
cat post to the sky.
When we get there, the orca is talking about how they have been hearing this whining up there for a long time, and you will if you listen. Like, it's not loud. It's not like annoying.
It's not annoying.
But the whole time we're doing this, there is a moaning noise going on in the background.
It's not as like bad the moaning as the one noise from before.
Yeah, not that kind of moaning noise, but like a cat moan. And as we get closer, it does, I believe, get louder, but it's still like not necessarily annoying.
It's not very obtrusive. It's not annoying.
When we get here at the base, we get confronted by... three little kittens dressed up as ninjas, each holding a scythe that is stuck together as a wheel of scythes.
Pretty awesome.
It's nuts. Like, I was not expecting to see this at all. Like, we have been fighting, like, demons, and this doesn't... they don't feel like demons
it's
necessarily.
It's pretty metal.
Did either of you guys get stuck in their combo? Did they do a combo on you?
No.
If
I didn't have much trouble with this. Once we got the slow down spell or the slow down brush technique, all the fights got significantly easier.
What's the slow down one again?
Two
parallel lines.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. No, I just all these wheels at this point. I hit them with wind, which usually makes them like they kind of get stuck in place, and then I wail on them with my sword, usually takes about two wins and two instances of wailing, and they will get stunned, at which point I can just slash them till they're done.
Now, if you... again, like I said, I was using the sword. I'm still rusty with it, and they got some hit on me that turned it into like a cutscene. Like, I couldn't do anything. They were doing some combo attack on me. Where it was literally changing camera angles,
kicking
me up in the air and stuff like that.
I missed that.
Classic ninja thing where they just kind of shoot across the screen and then they're juggling you in the air.
Something like that. Yeah, I think that was the idea. I was caught off guard. No other enemy has done this to us.
I haven't seen that in the game point blank at all. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So it was strange.
Brutal, adorable kittens. Oh man.
Yeah, and you guys missed it. If you would have just sat there and taken the hits, you would have seen it.
This is our Radon moment.
I'm sorry that I was the only one of us that was hesitating to beat up kittens.
You know, man, I see a kitten and just murder in my eyes. You know how it is.
I just whip out my glaive
and go find my gun.
After we do this, we have this giant tower in front of us. And let me emphasize how tall and giant this tower is, because we are going to spend too much time climbing up this thing. Now, before we'll get to it.
It's a long climb.
But yeah, we have this moment where Isun is like talking about like what's going on here. And what we are looking at is these imprints on the walls of this circular shape with these triangles above it that almost look like a cat paw kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, if it has that on there, you can climb up it. Well, you can't climb is the wrong word.
Right.
You can stop yourself mid-fall at any time with this.
If you are close enough to the wall.
You can wall hang.
Yes.
But they just say climb. They say the word climb. And so I get up there. I jump on this thing and I'm pushing. And then Amy is just stuck on the wall. And then I'm moving the stick around and I'm like, are you going to do anything? Did my game broke? What's going on right now? What you have to do is you just have to keep jumping.
Mm-hmm.
I would love if it had a counter of how many times I pressed the jump button on this tower alone. I would guess it's nearing the triple digits.
Did you try anything fun with it, or did you just like be?
Describe the fun activities you can do in this moment, Brian, please.
Oh, I was jumping parallel to the wall and getting double jumps in. And then grabbing, and then kind of hopping back and forth like that.
Well, aren't you a smart doggy?
I just jumped
up as intended.
The issue is if you jump too far to the side, you will go around the pole. The pole will you know wrap around away from you.
Yeah,
and so you gotta be careful because you can drop very far down. I did that a couple times, but I don't know. I was trying. I was like, "How can I make this go faster?" Yeah.
I mean, I would like, Brian. You're the speed running guy. You should go look up, like,
boring.
Literally, what's the fastest time to climb up this tower? Like, I'm actually interested.
I wonder if they
right there. If they have some trick for it. Where they can just be like, oh, actually, if you do this, you can just do the mermaid teleport that'll take you to any mermaid location automatically.
Have you ever looked into runs in this game before?
I never have. Well, I don't want to look into runs because I haven't played the game yet. So.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I may actually, you know, I only care about speedrunning if it's a game that I'm like, is fresh in my mind, right? Yeah. Like, if I'm like, I just got done with a game, I will watch a speed run as long as it's under like a couple hours. if it is longer than that, I lose my attention.
I prefer to watch speed runs of games I'm either never going to play or games I've played like extensively.
Yeah. If I have like I will not be watching Elden Ring's run at next week or whatever. Yeah, next week GDQ.
The time this episode goes up, it'll be gone
or whatever that is, yeah. At SGDQ this year, there will be an Elden Ring run. It will be two of them, and I will not be watching those. I did not watch the Breath of the Wild one in 2017 when I was just like I went into a different room for that because I was not done playing that game.
But legitimately, in the time like we're going up this tower, it feels like it goes on forever. I would wager that we probably spent 10 minutes climbing up this tower, right?
It's a long
like
tower.
That doesn't sound ridiculous, right?
Well, I mean, how many episodes did it take Goku to get up the tower in Dragon Ball? Because that's what we need to talk about here is that as soon as I got into this area, I was just like, well, hey, there's Korin's tower. Cool. And then we find out there's kitties at the top making noises. There's a cat
and,
there
and
the top
at the checkpoints.
Tower.
There are checkpoints because you can't fall.
More cats.
Yeah, and there are cats hanging up on this thing.
Well, they had to outdo Toriyama somehow, so they added more cats.
So, did you all feed all the cats on the way up?
I did. I could have. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, there's so many cats. You're on this tower for so long, and when you get to the end, you have to feed the cat. So if you didn't have, like, I just happen to have a ton of seeds.
Oh,
keep them stocked. So if you didn't happen to have five sets of fish,
yeah.
Yeah. If you didn't have five or six sets of fish, you would have been out of luck.
Because I started with nine and I ended with two. And the final one was the god. And I was like, I'm glad I had enough because that would have been upsetting.
Yeah, fortunately, when you get to the top, there is, like I said earlier, there is a pond that you can do the mermaid teleport.
It's true. That's
worst
true.
Case scenario, you have to teleport to where a merchant is and buy some.
But like, I did want to say that because of how we've a few different stories were like, hey, these are actual Japanese folklore or something, like the few things that we have known. As I looked at the Korin's Tower, I was like, okay, that's got to be some folklore thing, like the giant tall tower in the sky or something. And so I looked it up, and everything I looked into, nope, it's just a thing from Dragon Ball that they're like, yeah, that's in our game now. Like, this isn't, that didn't come from anywhere. It's not like,
I love it. I do.
There's nothing
like,
in like Journey to the West that seems to have, you know, like in Chinese folklore, I don't think. Like, I tried to find something, and I found, all I found was, yeah, Toriyama made a thing with a cat on it, and we like it.
Well, you got to keep in mind, like, these types of Japanese developers, at the time, we looked at them like they were like rock stars or something like that, because they would break the mold of the more conservative game design that we would get from certain games and stuff like that. But the reality is, they're just nerds, and you know they love anime, and they probably read all the manga for Dragon Ball and all that stuff, and so they have the influence from those things, and it's not like reverence to some like ancient stuff. It's more just like, this is just ingrained in my head, and I've seen and read all the Dragon Ball. So it's just from that, really.
Yeah. I never considered until I saw them, you know, their facsimile, basically. I was like, I wonder if that also falls into the category of other things we've seen that are just references we don't get.
Yeah, like Suda 51 is the one of them that is straight up just like, yeah, I love watching like samurai movies and wrestling and all of this stuff, and I will just flat out say, yes, I'm putting that in my video game because I can.
Yeah.
I like Akira motorcycles. Like, I like all that stuff. I'm just going to put it in my video game.
What, very angular, sharp motorcycles.
Yeah. Anyway, we get all the way up here, we feed that cat, and we get, this might be my favorite of them because of
this was really just good.
Like, we get a big cat god that immediately takes Isun and starts batting it around like a toy and playing with it. And we're just watching, and we're just sort of like, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and play with him.
Yeah, that's cool. Whatever. That's my plaything.
And then Ami like is trying to get Isun back, and then they just start chasing each other through the fields where we've been like feeding all the animals and stuff. Yeah. And they're just like, they're just having fun, right?
They're just chasing Isun, basically. And it just looks like they're having the best time.
This is Kabegami, and they are the god of walls.
Mm-hmm.
And we see them just hanging off of a wall. They're talking to us the whole time. They are perpendicular to us. They're not facing us. They're looking behind them, hanging off of a wall, talking to us the whole time.
Yeah.
That did make me think, and this is something I'm not aware of, but like, you know, the paper doors that are used in Japanese homes and things like that. Do you think cats climb those things all the time? Like, I have to imagine, right?
Those assholes.
Yeah. You guys, you can immediately see it, can't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If a cat can get its claw easily in there to climb up stuff, it's just going to go, right? So you're just going to have cats hanging off the walls, literally. Like,
yeah. Cats hanging off of drapes, you know? So, yeah.
So I wonder, the swamp-looking guy that we saw in, I think, the first dungeon, who we split into a billion pieces, do you think he prays to this cat wall god?
Oh, yeah, hey.
It's possible, yeah. It's possible that Kabegami actually gave him his powers.
Yeah. I need my, can you help me get my wall back? Myself
yes.
back?
Make me the wallest wall you can.
Make me a wall again.
What power we get from this is the ability to trace off of those cat statues we saw before against the walls that are near it, that then make these climbable surfaces.
Yeah.
So we can go up places.
It puts the that pattern on the wall above the statue.
the paw print, I guess we can just say,
which
for
is,
it.
Which is not a lot better than having to
keep in mind, not permanently.
No. And also, well, as far as you can see, so you make sure you get it, make sure you find the ledge that you're going to be going to, and that you're close enough to hop up there if you have to, but
right. I don't know if you guys know this, but if you bring up your map, like your left trigger map while you're running around, it will show that symbol on the map to tell you where those cats are.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. if you want to go and find all of them on a map, you can just bring that up and it'll show
like
you.
Ubisoft.
Sorry.
No,
no,
this
no,
is
cut
no,
that cut that
nowhere
out.
No, near
no, no,
as
no,
bad
cut,
as Ubisoft.
No, no, hold on.
Okay.
It's like Insomniac.
No, it's still not. No.
Okay, whatever. I was just trying to say a better, less, you know, problematic publisher's name. But
it, this
you know,
does not. This
Insomniac
does
Games
not,
do put the little waypoints on your map and stuff.
Yeah, but they don't. We don't have a compass appearing full of like the markers and stuff like that necessarily.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I made a point to go and see all of them that I could. Okay. Like I immediately teleported back to the first field that we went to. And went to those.
I went back as far as the capital in looking for them.
Yeah. I found two things.
Okay.
That were like interesting. Everything else was just like a treasure chest with some
stray bead.
Treasure. Yeah. Well, yeah, a couple stray beads here and there. But I came across this old ruins that Isun stopped and explained something to me that makes me think at some point. We're going to have, probably soon, something's going to happen where they're going to say, you need to revive this ancient thing. And we're going to have to go to a couple different spots throughout the map. Because I believe we are getting close to like having seen the world, you know,
right.
as it were, where we're really just going to be in reinteracting with certain places with like new things that are happening.
Because there's more parts of Nippon on our maps, but like Hokkaido is just up there. It doesn't look like we're going to actually do anything with it. It's just up there.
No, I don't think. Yeah. I think we are getting close to seeing the whole world of this game. But I did also come across there is a tower at the city that if you go all the way up that thing, you will then talk to a scientist kind of guy that's up there that is working on something that you can see. You can see a shape in the background
mm-hmm.
that looks like a lightning bolt, but he says he's missing a cog. So
okay.
at some
yeah.
point we'll probably come across a cog. I'm going to guess we maybe have like one other town that we're going to maybe see that we haven't outside of whatever is waiting for us underwater. But some shop will probably
right.
have that, or we'll find, we'll talk to somebody and help him, and we'll get that. And if you take it back to him, he will give us probably some kind of electricity spell, I assume.
Make your notes now,
but
listeners.
It's also,
Jeremy's bet is that we have one town left. He's gonna be real surprised when we go to space.
A little behind
the
scenes. A little behind the scenes.
Detroit, Michigan.
You didn't see it coming.
A little behind the scenes is that we had already planned for 16 episodes of this, which is a lot for our longtime listeners knows that is a lot for a single game. We've already had to add a single episode because of the way things were on here. So no, it's very much possible that I could be wrong. I'm not putting money on this, but what I have seen is I get the feeling that we are going to be doing some stuff of going back and talking to some other people and having new conversations with them, because we had the one girl that got her old, like uncomfortable over sexualized music and all that. I can't remember her name, but she was talking about
right,
her.
Because why would you know her name? The game didn't care.
They gave her name.
Right,
it was just her character overall was, this is my fault because I have trouble remembering American names.
No.
So expecting me to remember Japanese names is even harder for me. But she was talking about needing or losing her fox rods. So at some point, we're going to find those. We're going to get those back to her. Something else is going to happen with her. So this is the kind of stuff that I'm seeing. We're like, we've come across people that are saying they're missing things, but we're not doing anything with them right now. Mm-hmm. And we are leaving them far away. So at some point, we're going to be coming back to them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, did you guys do any exploring at all with your cat abilities?
I found a one thing, I found a warp that is in the North Coast area. It's just up at the top of a cliff for no reason, but it seems like it would have been inaccessible if you did not have the X, because the only way to reach it is to warp to it with the power up that you learn from the dojo that lets you just warp at those. So, yeah.
It's like a shrine. It's a save shrine.
Yeah, it's a save shrine. Okay. Yeah. And when I was warping to go look for cat statues, it was like, warp here? 10 feet away? Like, okay, let me see what that is. It's like a stray bead, some clovers, you know, some praise, some stuff up there.
Oh, okay. Well, then I need to do that anyway. I did do some tooth farming. I did some of that because, like, I went back, when I said that I went back to the first field and then went through there, I was like, I can just get into fights real quick. I can pee on everybody and I can slash them away and walk out with like 10 fangs right there.
Yep.
So been doing, I'm not 10 is six. Let's say
it's six. Yeah. We'll call it six,
but racking those up, already got like back to 100 after like spending all of mine with the king before, so gonna go back and buy some more. I'll probably get that those one fangs, so that, man, I can go to that area you're talking about.
I'm trying to get that brown despair.
Is that what it's called?
Okay, it's something. It's
brown
something, like
something.
That.
Brown rage.
No, well, it's brown rage. It's whatever it was, like the first. It was like yellow fury. This is like brown fury. I am so afraid of what this is gonna be. Like, what are, like, we're not going to be pooping. We're not going to be pooping on
monsters.
We're
almost certainly going to be pooping.
I think it'll be a fart. I think it's going to be a fart.
Oh.
I think you're going to be able to poop and then kick that poop towards the enemies.
Ooh.
That actually makes sense. That's, like, doing the back with the back paws.
Yeah, that's my guess.
Yeah, I like
that. I don't think we'll actually see the poop, though. I think we'll just see the back digging that a dog would do after they... Some dogs would do after they take a duty.
You never know.
Anyway,
man,
let's move on from this right now. We're going to have to talk about
it
later.
I'm saving my money up. Dear listener, my money and my praise is being saved to make sure my wallet is hefty enough to get the brown... I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Trust me.
You will
BC, what about you?
I actually wanted to go back and get some upgrades for the beads and the digging upgrade. So I went back and dug up some stuff that I couldn't dig up before. I didn't need to do much cat tower exploring because the first cat tower that I went to was the one that we needed to go to for plot reasons.
Yeah.
So.
Got it.
I was like, ooh, I'll go check this one out.
Right. If you go to at the North Ryoshima coast, there is an area that you see as soon as we enter this to your left, and there is a cat thing that you can go up there. Yeah, and this is also it's some old ruins, but different than the ruins that I saw earlier.
Yeah, and different than whatever I saw, like a bunny, kind of like a statue shrine or something in a cave in the North Coast area on the other cat statue. And it was just like, this is still one of those things where we'll get there later, says Isun.
Yeah.
Basically.
Something I noticed, too, while I was exploring at night, you actually can see the constellations in the sky. I don't know if you guys noticed this. The constellations we've unlocked are, like, floating around in the sky.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's certain maps, but, yeah, as you progress, you see more of it in there. So that's neat. But, yeah, if we go up here, we go, I guess you would have to do it at night, because there is a guy waiting at a ledge talking about he wants to wish upon a shooting star.
Mm.
And Did you guys have any trouble figuring out exactly what we were supposed to do here? Because they wanted us to do something we haven't done yet.
Yeah, you just have to draw one little dot in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Just a little tap. Tiny tap on the sky.
Which in retrospect makes sense, because that's how we do the stars and the constellations. But I was like, all right, who wants a shooting star? I just draw a slash, right? It's a slash. It has to be a slash.
Yep.
I've done this on accident before. Made a star. Like, when I was trying to do something else. I'm like, oh, hey, okay. So, I was like, wait, did... I still had to think about it for a second and be like, I think this is what I do.
Now, we do have a battle just before we talk to him.
Oh, yeah,
because he says, like, oh, what was that? What was that noise? Huh. And this was one of the hardest battles I've had because... Honestly, I'm not sure if this creature, we haven't fought them before. I feel like their second phase was invincible.
I don't know.
I had to wait until they went back to their first phase. Like, they revert back at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could damage them. And the whole time I'm like, I can't figure out how to damage this thing.
I could not slash or do anything. I was able to, like, put his fire out and light his fire up. That was about it.
Yeah, I think it's either like the mask on or mask off. I forget which one. They're like invincible, but I don't know if there was a trick to this. I just kept hitting him in the face and eventually he died. Yeah.
So I had done no damage at all for the entire fight. I had run out of ink multiple times. I was trying to, like, figure out what environmental things I could do to mess with this guy. I guess maybe I could have slowed time down. I always forget about something. But, after a long time, after a big, long fight of just nothing, I swung my sword and hit his feet when he was flying around. That is all I did. I didn't...
That's the only way you could damage him.
That was it. And it was so easy. I was just like, oh, I could have just been doing this the whole time, I guess. All right. And yeah, just wailed on his feet for a little while, and that was how I got him.
So
that was disappointing.
This enemy, when you first see him, he is basically a giant face with, like, feet and hands. He's like wearing a full human-sized mask. It's like a face in front of him, but it's the size of a whole body. And then he has a second phase where that mask sort of splits up and becomes wings behind him. And he's got like a sword and does all these crazy attacks. But for whatever reason, in his second phase, it's like you can't hit him. If at least like it, when he has his mask on, you could just slash him straight in the face and you do damage to him. But, like, his second phase just changes completely, and he's just lobbing attacks at you.
I hit him 8 times in the feet with my sword. He's dead.
I only had to hit him, like, 4 times with the glaive, like, doing, like, charged-up shots.
Yeah,
but
I didn't even
again,
charge up
again, that was
either.
Only... Right, that was just, like, the first phase. Like, I had to wait for him to go back to, like, revert back. It was weird.
I kept looking for something cool to do. Like I'm always trying to find the cool way to take out these guys, but sometimes I just don't find it.
Yeah.
Now I'm just imagining Jeremy after your comments, same monster but with a normal face size mask. That's just a person. Like the mask is just an outline of a human body, not form fitting at all.
No. Just wearing a doll on your face, basically.
Essentially, yeah.
After we do the battle, the Watcher talks to us and says all this stuff. When we do that, he wishes that he could see all the stars in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he...
I wish the game could continue.
We see basically the Milky Way galaxy in front of us here. Like, it is just this huge spiral galaxy. And then Isun talks about like, oh, this is the thing that we need to open the portal down to go under the water and all this. And I'm just like, what? Yeah. Did I miss something here? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's
a yin and yang thing.
That's what Orca tells us, that we need to find the whirlpool.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Orca. So the funny thing is that when you hop off Orca and you explore, every time you get back on Orca, it says this long thing, and Isun is just sort of like, okay, yeah, we get it. And I felt the same thing where I was like, I don't know, Orca just keeps saying things to me. Take me to this other island that I haven't been to. There might be a treasure chest in the dirt that I need.
Go, whale, go.
So, yeah. Once again, me not reading the things the game is flat out telling me.
It says in this galaxy thing that, like, yeah, there's like a yin and yang, you know, when one spins, so does the world. They're opposites of one another. They react to one another. And so, yeah. you spin the galaxy.
Thus killing thousands of societies in the like, the fact that we have the ability to take this galaxy in front of us and just spin it around like we're on, like, Price is Right. And it's nuts. Right. But doing that opens up a portal in the water.
Yeah, and we can go to the palace now. Thanks, all you people.
Yeah, we talked to everybody, and everything came together finally. You hop on Orca, you go near it, and we swim down this hole in the sea.
Yeah, you do like one of those old things where you put the coin in it in the spiral.
Yes.
Yeah, at the mall.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was wondering how they were going to handle like Ami breathing underwater, if there was going to be something special that Orca did, or if we were going to surface in like a little like submarine bay essentially. But no, yeah, we're just underwater.
It's that Wind Waker moment.
Yeah.
Where they're just sort of like, nah, you're fine. Don't even worry about it. We're not even going to put a bubble around.
We've got God tunic on, so I think we'll be okay.
The reality is like, you know, when Ami goes underwater, when your stamina runs out, it's just that Ami doesn't like the water. That's all. They'd be fine under there. They just don't like the water.
Yeah.
But
once you're under the water, then it's fine.
This leads us to the entrance of the Dragon Palace, and there is a safe station right over there. This is where we are going to wrap things up. In our next episode, we are going to defeat Evil Rayo.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what that entails in terms of, like, you know, what we're gonna have to do to get there. We'll see how big this game is. But at the very least, do that. And if it's not that, then I might go and edit this and you'll never hear this. But do all that. Be back here and we'll talk about it on Chat of the Wild.
Okay. Gaiden.
I just remembered I need to shut the dryer off, so I'm going to let this run, but then I'm going to need another 10 seconds of silence when I get back. Hang on.
Sorry, I had a burp, so that's perfect. Boy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we are covering Okami. Joining me this week. Yeah. Joining me this week is BC.
Hey.
And Jeremy, how you doing, Jeremy?
What are you doing?
All right. So, at the end of last episode, we I did the opener for you. There you go. You'll hear. You'll see.
Do we need to clap again?
No, I just needed silence on my side.
Oh, silence.
So we are good now. All right.